From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies in the book of Joshua, bringing part two of a message called Confronting Our Jerichos. Before we hear from Dr. Cairns, please enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text is found in John chapter 21 and verse 12. Jesus said unto them, Come and dine. In these words, the believer is invited to a holy nearness to Jesus. Come and dine implies the same table, the same meat. Aye, and sometimes it means to sit side by side and lean our head upon the Savior's bosom. It is being brought into the banqueting house where waves the banner of redeeming love. Come and dine gives us a vision of union with Jesus, because the only food that we can feast upon when we dine with Jesus is Himself. Oh, what union is this! It is a depth which reason cannot fathom, that we thus feed upon Jesus. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. It is also an invitation to enjoy fellowship with the saints. Christians may differ on a variety of points, but they have all one spiritual appetite. And if we cannot all feel alike, we can all feed alike on the bread of life sent down from heaven. At the table of fellowship with Jesus, we are one bread and one cup. As the loving cup goes round, we pledge one another heartily therein. Get nearer to Jesus, and you will find yourself linked more and more in spirit to all who are like yourself, supported by the same heavenly manna. If we were more near to Jesus, we should be more near to one another. We likewise see in these words the source of strength for every Christian. To look at Christ is to live, but for strength to serve Him, you must come and dine. We labor under much unnecessary weakness on account of neglecting this precept of the Master. We none of us need to put ourselves on low diet. On the contrary, we should fatten on the marrow and fatness of the gospel, that we may accumulate strength therein, and urge every power to its full tension in the Master's service. Thus, then, if you would realize nearness to Jesus, union with Jesus, love to His people, and strength from Jesus, come and dine with Him by faith.
King of my life, I crown Thee now. Thine shall the glory be. Lest I forget Thy thorn-crowned brow, lead me to Calvary. Lest I forget Gethsemane, and lest I forget Thine agony, lest I forget Thy love for me, lead me to Calvary. Show me the tomb where Thou wast laid, tenderly mourned and wept. Angels in robes of light arrayed, lest I forget Gethsemane, and lest I forget thine agony, lead me to Calvary. May I be willing, Lord, to bear daily my cross for thee, even thy cup of grief to share. Thou hast borne all for me, lest I forget Gethsemane, and lest I forget thine agony. Lest I forget thy love for me.
In the 18th chapter of Luke's Gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ presented a parable to the end that men ought always to pray and not to faint. If ever there was a time when believers in the Lord Jesus Christ needed to pray, surely it is now. The moral condition of our land, the apparent powerlessness of our churches, cry out for God's people to seek the Lord earnestly for revival. To encourage true Christians in the urgent need to pray, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer, free of charge, copies of a powerful message by Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest Christian leaders and thinkers this country has ever produced. The title is typical of Edwards' time, a humble attempt to promote explicit agreement and visible union of God's people in extraordinary prayer for the revival of religion and advancement of Christ's kingdom on earth. Don't let the title put you off. This is a message for this hour. In a 20-page booklet form, Edwards' sermon calls upon believers to unite in earnest prayer for God to come in reviving power upon His church. The great revivals of history have always come as the result of fervent prayer, sometimes on the part of just a few Christians who were burdened to seek God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in revival power. That power is still available for those who will seriously seek it. To obtain your free copy of this message, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615, and ask for Edwards on Prayer. The address again is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for the message Edwards on Prayer, and we'll be happy to send you a free copy. The city of Jericho confronted the children of Israel with many things that illustrate moral and spiritual truths for the people of God in every generation. Israel's battles and victories have their counterparts in the lives of individual Christians, as well as in the life of the church as a whole. In this message, Dr. Cairns is seeking to provide biblical answers for God's people facing obstacles. We've seen that believers face deeply established strongholds of resistance as individuals. Yet it is not the will of God that His people live in a constant state of crisis, but rather that they should know the fullness that is in Christ. Then every worker for Christ finds a Jericho standing in his way. Sinners do not want to hear the gospel. On a larger scale, the Church of Jesus Christ faces many a Jericho, for the world does not welcome the mission of the Church as God's people seek to encompass the strongholds of sin and win the victory for Christ. Now to continue this message, Confronting Our Jerichos, here is Dr. Cairns.
It is the will of God, as Paul taught us in Ephesians 3, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. As he said to the Colossians in chapter 2, you are complete in Christ. You are filled to the full in Christ. That is the will of God for the Christian, and nothing less. Now that is our birthright. But we're not long saved before we recognize that there lies right within our own breast a deeply rooted resistance to spiritual living. The greatest problems to our progress in grace are not outside of us, they are inside of us. They are not the world and the devil, oh, they will oppose us, but first and foremost, there is our own flesh. There is a Jericho in every bosom that would stand in the way of spiritual progress and spiritual living. There is an innate resistance to grace and to godliness. The Apostle Paul spoke of this in Romans chapter 7, in verse 18 and 19, and then in verse 21 to 23, he speaks of this resistance. He says, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. To desire to grow spiritually is present in every Christian. If there's no desire in you to grow spiritually, you are not a Christian. Now that's an emphatic statement, but it's simply the statement of the Word of God. The desire for Christ, the desire to overcome sin, the desire for true holiness is the hallmark of a truly saved person. But how to fulfill that desire, how to perform that which our heart yearns for, is not so obvious. Paul says, for the good that I would, I do not. But the evil that I would not, that I do. There is the conflict that every Christian feels. How often we have been in this position. We desire to do good, but we end up not doing it. We desire to escape from doing evil, but all too often we end up doing it. There is this constant conflict with the flesh. Paul says, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. I delight in the law of God after the inward man. That proves that he's speaking of his experience as a Christian, you know. For that's not true of any unconverted man. It's not true of any man outside of Christ. Only a Christian can say, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law warring in my members against the law of my mind. It would bring me into captivity to the law of sin. What is this? This is your first Jericho. as soon as you're saved. And you have the joy of the Lord, and you have this great desire to go on with God, and you're wanting to possess your possessions in Christ. You want to grow in grace. You want to become strong and in the power of His might. You want to become a great prayer warrior, a great student of the Word of God. You want to become a great witness for Jesus Christ, a soul winner, a servant, a soldier. You want to be it all and do it all. That's natural for a Christian. Then, as soon as you're inside the promised land, there are the walls of Jericho. You've got to fight with your own flesh. Of course, there are other Jerichos, if I could call them that. We bring from our past lives, there are cherished friendships. There are worldly entanglements. Sometimes what I would call the ghosts of past sins would haunt us. They would all contrive to keep us from going on and going through with God. This is something that every Christian experiences. Jericho has its counterpart in every Christian's life. Moreover, every Christian worker quickly realizes that strong resistance stands in the way of his service for Christ. The Apostle Paul said, in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 9, that a great door and effectual is opened unto me. But there are many adversaries. Everybody who sets out to serve the Lord and to work for Christ and to win the lost for the Lord Jesus finds that there is a Jericho standing in his way. Again, Paul wrote to the Corinthians in those famous words of 2 Corinthians 10, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Why does he say that? Because as soon as you set out to serve the Lord, you're confronted with strongholds of resistance. He speaks of some of those. He talks about casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. These are the walls of Jericho to every Christian worker. You go out after lost souls, and it doesn't matter whether they're here or on the mission field, you soon discover something about lost souls. And that is, they want to remain lost souls. Sinners want to remain sinners. They have an innate detestation of Christ and His gospel. Bishop Hall. If you don't know the name of Bishop Hall, I'll not take time to start talking about him this morning. The great old-time Church of England bishop. If the Church of England had bishops like Bishop Hall today, it would be a different church. It would be a totally different church. Bishop Hall, in his Contemplations, which, by the way, has been recently republished and gives to Christians some of the most beautiful meditations in the historical portions of the Old and of the New Testament. Bishop Hall said, every carnal heart is a Jericho shut up. God sits down before it and displays mercy and judgment in the sight of the walls thereof. It hardens itself in a willful security and saith, aha, I shall never be moved. That's what you find when you go out witnessing. Does the sinner want to hear the gospel? No, sir. Does he want to hear about God's condemnation of his sin? No, sir. Does he want to hear about repentance and faith? No, he doesn't. Or give him an easy-going religion, and he'd be happy to receive it if it pampers the flesh. But give him the gospel of full, free, sovereign, saving grace, and you find that the heart of the ungodly is like Jericho. It's fast shut up against the advance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So when you go witnessing and working, you run into a stronghold. We find that here every Sabbath day. We find it here this morning. There are people in this very meeting who are the fulfillment of what Bishop Hall wrote when he said, every carnal heart is a Jericho shut up. And though God comes before you with mercy, or with judgment, you still remain shut up. There are people in this meeting before whom God has waited for years in mercy. Yet you've despised His mercy. You've trampled underfoot every word of His grace. He has warned you of judgment, and yet you seek to resist that warning. You've obstinately rejected every overture of grace. Just like Jericho, you know, for hundreds of years before this time of judgment came on Jericho, God had held open the door of mercy. That was why He kept Israel for 400 years prior to this out of the promised land. The cup of the Amorites was not full. They had not yet reached the stage of wicked sinfulness that God would finally judge and damn them for their sin. He was still dealing with them in mercy, but they rejected it. When He came to deal with them in judgment, they thought they could resist it. Exactly like many of you who sit under the sound of the Word of God. You've grown up under the sound of the Gospel. You've heard again and again and again the message of love, of mercy, and of grace, and you've dismissed it. Now when you hear the message of judgment, you think you can resist it somehow, someday, some way. You'll be able to defeat it. But be assured that all those who fail to yield to grace will most undoubtedly yield to judgment. Jericho has its counterpart then in the life of the Christian, in the life especially of the Christian worker and soul winner. And of course, throughout its history, the church has been like Israel confronting Jericho. The Apostle John said, "We know that we are of God and that the whole world lieth in wickedness." The world lies in the lap of the power of the wicked one. It's just like Jericho. It does not welcome the advance of the gospel. The world did not welcome the church of Christ. When you think of what happened on the day of Pentecost and thereafter, you would imagine that such a movement should have been warmly welcomed. What else was setting men free? What else was mending hearts that were broken, mending homes that were broken, making rebels into peacemakers, drunkards into sober saints? What else was doing it? Nothing in this whole wide world. And yet the Church of Christ was violently opposed because the world, like Jericho, was fast shut up against the Lord. Determined to halt its progress, it did everything it could to crush the infant church. The Lord Jesus had warned His disciples of this opposition. He said, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up into their counsel. And they'll scourge you in their synagogues. And you'll be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles." The church's mission is just like the mission that Israel had. As Israel was called to compass Jericho, so the church of Christ compasses this old world. And that mission will never finish until Revelation 11, verse 15 comes to pass. And the seventh angel sounded, and there was a great voice in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever." Until then, the church is only compassing the world. That's all it's doing. In that time, we will have the remnant corresponding to the little number of people who were saved in Jericho. We'll have a remnant saved out of Jericho. But it is not the job of the church to revamp the political and social fabric of the world. Oh, the gospel will have an effect in all those things. It always does. It is our job to compass about this world as Israel compassed Jericho, a testimony to our God who will save His remnant people under that precious red ribbon of blood as He did in Jericho. God will do it. And ultimately, Revelation chapter 11 and verse 15 will be fulfilled. And God will make the kingdoms of this world His and His Christ's.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.